Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the DKP here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com as I rudely cut one of my guests, Justin Shapiro, off in the middle as he was talking with the intro to the show. And he is not the only guest, because with Justin, of course, on this road to WrestleMania, comes one Mr. Amo. And it's just the three of us here. And we are on the road, as we have been for the last couple of weeks, and we're getting closer, guys. It's almost WrestleMania time.
Alan, you're stateside now, which means, I guess, a couple more hours of driving, and then we can start taking the A-train.
Nice! Someone was saying about they hope he has his music from when he was the A-Train before. And I was like, I remembered that was good music, but I can't for the life of me remember. Of course, I could have just checked YouTube and found it out, but I think I'm going to go a different route and ask you, Justin, if you remember, could you please recite that music for me?
I only really remember that it started with, like, chugga-chugga train track noise, like a train crash, I think.
I was a big fan of it, because I like trains.
You do. You're a known train enthusiast. Yeah. Aficionado, if you will.
Definitely.
Connoisseur, even.
Okay, just calm down. Okay? Lay off.
It's Justin, you're a well-spoken man who's mastered the spoken word. I'm always intrigued by the words connoisseur and aficionado, in that they're two completely differently spelled, different-sounding words that appear to mean the exact same thing. What is the need for these two different words? Is there some slight difference that I have not yet realized?
I think the derivation of language from original Latin. One seems French, and one seems, I don't know, Italian?
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. But why do we want to rob two languages' word? Why can't we just use, like, one? It's not like I go around saying, like, konnichiwa and hola.
I think you do.
I actually do. I think I used at least one of those today.
There's a bit of a Carl Pilkington vibe to that.
It really is.
Do we need as many words?
The dictionary can be pretty big, you know. It's not like limited page.
Guys, guess what?
Space.
Guess what I won last night?
Dunno.
Scrabble.
Hey.
Yeah, I kicked ass. I got what was my final score? 151.
What was your best word?
What was my best word? Beats. BEETS.
Oh, like the beats from Doug.
Were they? Was that a double meaning? Like they are beats, but they play beats? Anyway, Alan, you can do better than five letters.
No, but it got me loads of points.
Cascade across three rows of stuff?
I got like a triple word score and stuff on it, but I demolished everyone in Scrabble. It was a four player game, and I whooped ass. And
you smashed those kids.
I am known for my smashing of kids, and this was no exception.
Oh, God.
Remember you implicated Trent Beretta a few episodes ago as...
And he hasn't been on TV since.
Well, he said he was a kiddie fiddler, and now he has been... His privacy invaded in a intimate photograph with the very young-looking April A.J. Jeanette, so... Smoke to that fire, as we say on this website.
Whoa, fill me in here, Justin. What's this about?
Just a couple super couples outed in a privacy-invading thread on the board. One being Trent Beretta and AJ, and the other being the dream couple, the first couple of wrestling, Bryan Danielson, and Brie Bella.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Art imitating life from
the
beginning
one,
of last
the
year.
She's the one with the knacker tat.
Oh?
Yeah.
Go on.
She's the one with the scummer tattoo sticking out from the front of her underwear.
So that's how you tell them apart. But I always thought Nikki was the bad one, so...
She's good at heart. She's bad on the outside, good on the inside. Brie is the opposite. Which is, what's the name of this Tourette?
like Daniel is a slut or something like that. Brian is a slut.
Okay, let's have a live on air look at this. I haven't been on.
Sure.
I haven't been on the board pretty much all day.
Okay. Oh,
there you go. She obviously likes the beard.
A charming picture.
Yeah, that it is.
Picture number 4 is curious.
Yes, it is.
I can't wait to see those this photos reimagined in my favorite wrestling moment, crudely drawn.
Oh, guys, the Bryan Alvarez ones that Susio put up are amazing.
They're a little too authentic. they hit that uncanny valley.
Really do work
well. Creepiness.
Are we sure that's Brie?
I think I just took someone's word for it.
Nikki was tweeting recently she was back with Dolph, so I assume it's Brie.
This would be some pretty cool double dates with the BTs.
I hope to break, I hope to break the editorial match between the male participants and that double date.
Sounds excellent.
Yeah, really would be.
It's a little late for our Valentine's Day show, but
yeah.
Save it for next year.
No, this is well worth it. I'm just trying to get to the Trent Beretta picture before I move on here. I'm very sorry.
Keep going. It's
I'm on page 2. It's my Internet Explorer is being kind of annoying. There's an
sweet tits on page 2.
There's Stan, so, there's Mario.
Yep.
My Firefox is being annoying. Okay. That's a good picture.
Right?
Look at the dog! Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm thoroughly charmed.
Yeah, I'm pretty charmed all right as well. Okay, moving on.
Bit of fun, down to business.
Yeah, let's get down to brass tacks here. Brass tacks is being the road to WrestleMania. Amo.
Why are you coming
A-train
to me?
Tracks.
Yeah, I'm coming to you because I want to get you out of the way so the people things to... No, I'm only joking. I'm seriously joking. No, it's Amo. What have you watched WWE-wise recently? Anything kind of float your boat?
I've seen it all.
Have you?
I think. Pretty much.
How's
it all.
How are you feeling about the way the build to WrestleMania is going?
It's going good.
If I were to ask you what is the thing that you have been most impressed with on the last couple of weeks of TV, what would you say?
That's easy. It's the general manager's feud.
Is it?
I think so.
Okay, no, I can see that. I am one who has been very happy with that feud.
Because A, it's often near the start when I'm kind of paying attention. B, the matches are kind of full of... They're not, like, proper matches. They're kind of fun. And, you know...
Emo, have you watched that Kobashi-Steve Williams match I sent you in 2006 yet?
I didn't watch it in 2006, and I'm not about to watch it now.
That was back when I thought Emo was actually a wrestling fan. Like, check out these rad matches, dude.
I don't
got
know
a
what
number of said. Stars from prominent critics.
Disgraceful. But yeah, Santino's funny, and it's the crowd are just going crazy when, like,
Santino's awesome.
Laurinaitis gets pushed over and stuff.
And Laurinaitis doing Teddy's dance was great. Teddy doing Teddy's dance is always great.
It's great.
I like the whole backdrop of the feud of the even though Teddy is the babyface, and I do support him, and we all support him, we do know that he's like a completely awful, terrible general manager who is disgraced in a position, but you can't help but support the guy. Like, he's a walking peanut head.
He is.
Ethically, his treatment of the office of the SmackDown general managerial stewardship is suspect. He seems to employ a woman who doesn't wrestle only to show up and either have sex with him or just have bad innuendo conversations with him.
Yeah.
And that's been going on since, I think, September. I don't know if the payoff to all of that will be, like, Oksana costing Team Thuggin' and Buggin' Enterprises the match, and then reveal she was in cahoots with Laurinaitis all along because he signed her out of a bikini catalog or whatever. But no, I also wanted to say how impressed I'd been with that, because again, like Dave just said something he was underwhelmed by it on the whatever audio they did, but I am impressed. Like Amo said, they get every segment with them gets so much heat.
Yeah. Totally agree. No, a lot of people have been given out about that, and I don't know, I think it's been, sure, they've been put in places like, say, a Daniel Bryan CM Punk match. I think that was what rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, where that kind of took from that match. But I think aside from that, it's been fine. I think this stuff has been entertaining enough that it's not like it's guys having a match and Kane out there doing some shit with shit like storyline.
Yeah.
On commentary or something. Oh, Kane on commentary would probably be pretty funny, but no, I haven't really minded it at all. I think everyone's played their role really well. The only person I don't really like in it, and the only part of it I don't really like, is Oksana. I don't think she.
Why?
I don't get her. I don't even.
She has dark hair on.
Yeah, I don't even find her that hot. Sorry, Mark, Lithium Project, don't kill me. The other thing is, like, when they tease, like, oh, she's going to get beat up by Kane, oh, this, oh, that's going to happen to her, oh, Mark Henry's going to sit in her, it's like, I have no sympathy for her. It's
right. She's not exactly a real person.
She's not an empathetic character.
I had far more sympathy and empathy for NXT version of Oksana, who was a scared little girl and an immigrant.
Yeah.
And I preferred her hair color and haircut then, too.
What?
Yeah. Deal with that.
Fuck.
Yeah, I definitely. But
she counteracts Vicky Guerrero, I guess.
I'm kind of feeling a bit sorry for Dolph that he hasn't been more prominent in this. I guess he's been used to elevate guys like Sheamus and who else he wrestled recently? Sheamus Orton, I think he wrestled, maybe Punk. He's had a couple of matches with guys who are in other matches just to kind of put them over. So he hasn't really been embroiled in this. I think he deserves to be up. Hopefully in the last 2 weeks he'll be a more prominent part of that feud. But I doubt it since Del Rio still has to come back. And I'd say a lot of focus will be put on him. And Christian has only really had one show where the folks have been putting him even a little bit. So, Dolph's really kind of been cast aside a little bit. But I think in the match, he'll probably do well. I'm hoping this match gets time. I've seen a lot of people with their good card placement and stuff. They're like, oh, use the 12-man as the buffer to bring people down before. And I just see so much more potential in this match than just wasting it as a buffer. Like, I think with these 12 guys, that if you carefully lay out this match, come up with some good stuff for everyone to do, different combinations of guys who could do good stuff together, and give it, say, 20 minutes. I know, dream world, but still, give it 20 minutes and put it in a good spot on the card. I think it has potential to really, really be good. And, yeah.
I think you can even... That would be fine.
I'd be fine with it as the opener. When I said I did a card layout in my head, I had Cody and Big Show as an opener, but I think this could be really good too. So, let guys like Dolph shine in this match, and Evan Bourne's there, him, and yeah, it's one thing. When Dave's been saying to different people who've been kind of talked about for the babyface side, and he keeps mentioning, like, Ray. He even mentioned Sin Cara, which I was like, isn't Sin Cara supposed to be able to wrestle until, like, July? But one name he just never mentions, and I just can't see how this guy isn't at least a possibility based on the fact that he's kind of lingering around with nothing for him, and he has a history with John Laurinaitis, albeit brief, and Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they did that thing where he got in Laurinaitis' bad side, and Laurinaitis hit him with the microphone, and nothing. Foley got no like redemption from that. He was in the Royal Rumble, did some comedy spots, and we haven't seen him since.
I agree. I think in a politics-free world, he'd be a very logical choice. But I don't think there are a whole lot of Mick Foley advocates in power who are like, oh, let's get him a WrestleMania payoff. I think it's more likely there are Mick Foley non-advocates saying, we can't let him take a payoff away from Ezekiel Jackson or whoever. He's old. No one takes him seriously anymore.
Yeah,
which I don't think is that, I mean, based on how he's been used since he's been brought back, doesn't seem like they're ready to reestablish him as, like, a living legend or anything.
Yeah.
Like that.
So why did they bring him back? I suppose just to have him under contract, so various merchandise.
I guess to say nice things about Linda McMahon.
Maybe.
I was really happy that, based on TV Friday, that it looked like Ryder was going to be in the match instead of...
What did Ryder do on TV? I didn't see anything about that.
Using social media, they played a video of him requesting to be on Team Teddy Long due to his own animosity with John Laurinaitis and his working relationship with Teddy.
Oh, I didn't see that at all. But that might have been cut from the version I saw.
Yeah, Teddy's team is making a turnaround after the first version of it that was reported. Because it was like the three guys we have now plus Zeke and the Great Khali.
Yeah.
And based on how they've been booked, it seems like Brodus Clay is ahead of both of those guys. Ryder's in the match instead of being in, like, a rider on a pole in the match or whatever the hell.
I think...
And,
I don't want Khali in there at all. I think him getting jobbed by Cody the other day is a sign he probably won't be. I don't think Brodus should be in there either. I think the perfect fit for Brodus in this WrestleMania, and I really hope this is what happens, is, and it stops the idea of Miz ruining a match by running in, Miz just comes down between matches and says he's like holding WrestleMania hostage or whatever bullshit, just starts cutting tantrum in the ring, says anyone come out try and stop him, Brodus plays music hits, Brodus destroys Miz, does the dance, celebrates, and that's the Brodus WrestleMania moment. And then in the match, you can have Santino, Truth, Kofi, Evan Bourne, Zack Ryder. I'd actually be fine with Zeke, but if you want to have, if Ray is available, Ray, obviously, or if they're using Foley, then Foley in that spot. But I'd actually be fine with Zeke. Zeke's a sympathetic character of me recently. He is. I felt
if you were picking a team, though, if you're Teddy Long, who we've established is a suspect decision maker, would you pick the guy who is lost in 90 seconds to David Otunga and Mark Henry, like every time you've tried to rely on him?
What are you giving us as well?
That was the testament that he said, and he was like apologetic and vowed to do better next time in that interview.
I think he'll vow to do better again if he's given one more chance.
I don't know.
Trust Zeke. He's an honorable man.
I wouldn't think in the direction of Brodus either. I just figured like him being on TV last week all of a sudden must have meant that some idea.
Yeah,
occurred.
I do think my idea with him and Miz would have worked better if Brodus had been off TV. And
that was his return. Yeah. What was also curious, and I don't know how much like canonicity goes into the backstage YouTube interviews, but he did an interview after he came back on Raw where like WWE.com.
Yeah.
He didn't. It's like he was reluctantly dancing, so maybe he's being forced to do that by his opponent, team leader Johnny Ace, and he will, sadly, in my opinion, give up the dancing to cut loose on his own.
Like when Eugene showed up at the ECW pay-per-view and got mad
and said he was Nick Dinsmore, the wrestling machine.
The wrestling machine.
That's the old 12-man tag. I think we've pretty much said everything we need to about that.
Springing off something you said earlier, I think this might be the first Mania in like 5 or 6 years that has a chance that they might solve the time thing, which seems to be a problem.
Well,
every
last year didn't have a lot of matches, and they just like had King and Lawler out there for like 40 minutes from Like, from like the one match ending to the next match starting, there was at least 45 minutes for that King Lawler match. Just was ridiculous. King Cole.
Michael King Cole was a very old soul.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, by all, they absolutely should be able to have everything fine on time in 4 hours, but I still don't trust them to.
Not accounting for like Santino and Doink skits and all of that.
I don't see how it should be a problem with that.
Yeah, there are only like 7 real matches though, right? We'll talk, I'm sure, at length about the great Maria Menounos later, but the one drawback of her is that they won't just cut that match out right now.
Yeah.
Not that they've ever done that before, like when they sent Tori Wilson and Candice Michelle out for a 10-minute pillow fight and cut the Kurt Angle world title match.
Oh, was that year? Jesus.
Yeah.
The one other thing this year wanted that Rock thing at the start, which took a lot last year, so that's good. Amo, thank you for starting us off there with that little topic.
Justin, thank you for the opportunity.
Justin, I will ask you now the same question. I can kind of see the way this show is taking shape. It's a nice route we've taken with it, without planning. So, Justin, I will ask you the same question. What of the last couple of weeks of TV has tickled your fancy?
Oh, fancy has been delightfully tickled. I think the Undertaker Triple H is the match I'm most looking forward to since like Cena Punk in July, and before that I don't even know. Like, I know they're old and Triple H holds people down, LOL, but I just think everything they've done has been by far the best like pure wrestling promotion and throwback wrestling type booking. And you know, Undertaker stumbles over his words sometimes, but that's not really what people are going to take from them. And then I think having Michaels involved is going to make it that much more intriguing. So I don't know if they can will their bodies to one more classic match, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, from all accounts, Undertaker especially is in better nick than he was this time last year, so I'm optimistic. I think the sale will either be a hindrance or a help, depending on how far they want to go. If they want to have blood and make this just a vicious, violent spectacle, the sale will be a help. If they just have a regular match in a sale and it's not gonna work because people will be expecting, but I'm sure like that can't possibly be what happens, because last year was a regular match or at least no DQ and they pulled out all the stops. So I think I think this one will have it all. I'm really looking forward to it. Like you said, it's probably been the most artistically pleasing build to a match so far. I think the direction Punk Jericho has taken last week could give that a shot, depending on Punk's promo tonight, which I think could be a knock it out of the park type promo. Depending on that, that could maybe overtake Undertaker and Triple H as sort of the build. But right now, at this point, Undertaker Triple H just has been, again, artistically the best thing they have going. It's you're emotionally invested in all three characters that are involved in it. You want to see how it's going to unfold. And it's probably going to, not only do you have that going for it, but you also have the fact that it'll probably be a really good match. And I think this could not have gone any better from when the day Undertaker first came back to this point. I don't think there's been a single show where they've done stuff for this match that I haven't enjoyed what they've done. I haven't thought what they've done has worked really well. So, kudos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, Undertaker said April 21st, so the whole thing has sucked.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, rude.
I agree.
Plus, the one thing is, how will it recover from everyone being like, what? Undertaker looks weird. Yeah, people will be too distracted by how weird.
When's he going to take off the hat?
I almost think he should do that on the TV before, just to not have that be unveiled at the start of the match.
Or you have to pay to see the hat come off.
It's part. It's $5 of these. Justin, what do you pay in America for that show in HD?
For WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Some huge number, like $65, I think.
Is it not up to 70? I could have sworn. 70.
Plus HD, yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, Jesus.
Would you be watching
that
in
absurd?
HD?
Me?
Alan.
I mean... Oh,
me? In HD? I've never watched anything in HD.
You'd be watching this in HD?
I'll be there.
Yeah.
So I suppose you will.
Three.
Do you have LASIK?
No, but if I was at home, I wouldn't. Be at my friend's house on his fairly old TV, watching it in standard definition Skybox office, and yeah, simple as that. Nothing special. Not even a widescreen TV. We don't roll that way.
Oh, God. So you can't see, like, Shelton Benjamin jumping onto the ladder? Or you won't be able to get the very edges?
In my world, that WWE logo is right in the corner. I don't like when you have all that space to the left of the WWE logo. That's bullshit, man. The WWE logo should be right in the bottom left corner.
It would be in the fucking corner if there weren't people like you with your square TVs.
Oh, I love it.
The thing you're missing is, like, in those left and right margins, there was, like, three straight weeks where Maurice just got naked. Did you see that? No, I guess you missed it. Sorry. That's what they put in there. And then they just put, like... little like column shaped Japanese matches, so you can catch up on those. I can't believe you're missing all this stuff.
Oh, nuts! I'll have to go.
And Rosa Mendez does that pointy thing. Alan thinks she's just pointing at like the sides.
Míralo! Cállate!
Well, what are they gonna do at Mania?
Fuck all.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be a battle royal before the show? Because there's not that many guys without matches. It'd be a pretty sparse battle royal.
I feel like the chances of Dark Battle Royal and Lumberjills are very high.
But who? There'd be like eight guys to put in the Dark Battle Royal. You'd have to put in a load of like FCW dudes and stuff.
I don't know. There's a lot. I mean, remember all the people who were in that Elimination Chamber, qualifying battle royal?
Yeah, you're right, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, no, there's plenty. There is.
There are a lot of guys with, like, not even in the stratosphere of actually getting on the show who they have, I think, no reservation just letting go out and be in the battle royal.
Well, who do you think would win that battle royal?
Who didn't Ryder win it last year? Or Yoshitatsu?
Yoshitatsu won it, like, 2 years ago.
Mm.
I think if he's not in the thing, Kali is obviously a...
He's always a good choice. He may have won last year.
Kali with the final two heels being Primo and Epico. Have him just try.
Yeah. And you just eliminate them both at the same time in some kind of high spot.
I could see that.
What do you know? Yeah, look at this. Last year, as you remember, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan turned into a battle royal, which... The Great Khali won by eliminating Sheamus.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Oh, how about this? How about this?
Yep.
It's a battle royal, and it's like open invitational. It's open invitational, and it comes down to like Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, and they have a 30-minute classic, and then Ambrose wins. And then later on the show, they'll be like, and Jim Ross will come out for, and he'll Jim Ross be like, by God, before the show, we saw a classic match, and this guy, Dean Ambrose, he's the future of WWE, and Seth Rollins, he is too, and we're going to show the match in its entirety right here again, and I'm going to do special commentary on it.
Probably,
I think that's likely to happen.
I would lay down your sports bet right now.
In widescreen only.
They'll be in the margins, yep. What about, like, okay, it's a battle royal, and we'll say Zeke, who is not on my Teddy team, and it comes down to him and Tyson Kidd, and they're like, okay, we're going to split the winnership because we're buds, we work together to eliminate people. And then Zeke gives Tyson the ghetto blaster and throws him over the top.
Oh.
And then Tyson comes and breaks his trophy.
That would rock, too. That would rock.
Okay.
And then,
setting
and then
up,
they can show Bret Hart at the back of the building shaking his head in disapproval.
Like a reunited Trent and Tyson versus a reunited Zeke and Heath Slater.
Yeah. Could work. Could work.
Yeah, probably.
I feel like
work.
I had a dream about Heath Slater last night. It's just popped back
okay.
into my head.
Did he roofie you?
No. Just I had, like,
again, DKP slander, that story seemed to prove false.
It was just one of those things, like, I haven't seen a Heath Slater match in days or into it. He hasn't appeared on my TV in any form, but when you said the name Heath Slater there, it just seemed like something that happened real recently with Heath Slater in my life. So I assume dream. What was I going to say? I have forgotten now. Okay, well, we'll reach that.
Well, Slater's big tag match last year, this year's should be far better than it. I mean, I don't think it needs 20 minutes, like you said. I think they could even have a hot match, as they say, in like 10 or 12.
Yeah.
As long as they don't make it like a 4-minute complete.
I just want enough a few of the guys that are good to get a decent amount of time in the ring themselves. And since there's a lot of guys,
use your wrestling brain right now on no notice. Or if you want to take it home for homework, you can do it on our last show. I'll give you the assignment. Lay out with your Tony Garea level agent producing skills the 12 straight finishers that will end the match.
Ooh. Okay, I'll attempt it now. No, I'll do homework. I'll do it for the next show and I'll come up with something good.
Great.
I'll come up with something good.
Awesome.
Moving on. Chris Jericho and CM Punk, the aforementioned turn that took last week. Amo, did you see that?
I saw the turn.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you think of bringing up the whole CM Punk's alcoholic dad, bringing that into it? Did you, how'd you find that?
It was a bit weird. Caught me off guard. I was like, ooh.
Jericho was pretty good as just a gobshite in it, wasn't he?
He was just being a dickhead.
Yeah.
I guess he was trying to make people not kind of cheer for him a little bit. Because, you know, people like Chris Jericho, but now people won't like Chris Jericho one bit. I don't like him anymore.
True.
It was uncalled for.
Justin, I have to ask you a question here that
I'm
interested in your opinion on. Do you think this was a planned route for this storyline from the get-go? Or do you think they perhaps, maybe a week or two ago, felt the storyline or the feud didn't have as much steam as it needed, and this was a desperation kind of thing thrown into it?
Yeah, I think that little girl in Jericho's hype videos, who he will like unleash destruction when she tells him to, she represents the vice demon of addiction, don't you think? And it's all,
yeah, it's all tied together in a neat little package.
Yeah, I think it's more the second thing you said, where they were just like, let's pump up the jams a little bit. Because I think it's what they did and how they performed it was really good. It just seems to me like the thing you do after match one to get it going again for a rematch. But, sorry, a loud car is driving by. Wait, vroom. Which makes sense, because we're driving on a highway.
I was going to say, we've been overtaken.
Yep.
By someone else
man.
On the road.
I think they probably just figured they'll make it a little more personal. And I thought it went well.
Yeah, I thought it.
I think what made it, like, Jericho was good as always, but CM Punk is such a smarmy prick that it really resonated to see him, like, wounded by something.
I actually don't think... It was fine, but I wasn't blown away by his reaction. I wasn't like, oh, jeez, poor Punk. Like, I wasn't I didn't think his reaction was, it was more kind of the sort of confused, like, what the fuck phase that he was in. But I think tonight's Raw is where we're really going to get the, I think we're going to get, like, the money promo from him and really, like, another layer put on CM Punk's character. I think he's going to do some amazing work tonight. I have pretty strong faith in that. And you can all laugh at me if I'm proven wrong.
I think he's going to speak from the worked heart.
Yes, I do. I do.
I do, too.
And I'm interested in seeing how that goes. But, yeah, no, I didn't think, like, there was any great performance by him last week when I was more blown away by Jericho's side of things, but how just smarmy he was. Just,
yeah.
Oh, God, he wanted to kill Chris Jericho. I thought he was just tremendous. And I think Punk's reaction was very much sort of overshadowed by how good Jericho was. But, I'd have thrown it in there.
I'm just so used to him responding to everything being like, that was pretty predictable. You must think I'm the Conquistadors in 1987. Well, I'm not, so shut up.
Did you see the pictures of him going through that warehouse?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I saw P1, as they say in Megathread nomenclature.
I am looking forward to seeing his DVD. But, anyway,
Alan, how do you weigh the eternal conflict philosophically of having a title match go first versus guaranteeing them time?
They very much don't subscribe to they should go first to guarantee them time theory. I don't like title match at WrestleMania being first, and I don't think it should be that much of a concern that those guys are going to have their match slashed so drastically. I think at the end of the day, the same people that decide this match order and put them first are the same people that are going to be able to time out this show. I don't think, like, I think some attempt should be made to, if I was them, I'd clearly not be putting them first. I'd clearly be trying to have them in a prominent position high up the card and not cut their time. That's what I'd be trying. So I think it's just,
Would you think if you control all that, you'd be able to do it?
Yeah,
but
yeah. I think just,
I believe last year, Rock versus Cena versus Miz had its time cut, so they're clearly on the ball with this sort of thing.
No, it's,
I think they went off the air, like, seconds after it ended, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just feels wrong to have the title go first, but if they did something where, like, before the show, they did an interview where it's like, we want to go on first because I don't want to wait through a Randy Orton Kane match to get my hands on you, and I want to live in the tradition of great WrestleMania openers like Bret versus Owen and Morrison and Truth versus Show Miz.
Chris Masters and Carlito versus Big Show and Kane.
Yeah, exactly. Say, in that proud legacy, I want to go out there first and blah, blah, blah. That might make it okay, but they probably won't figure out the match order until day of, so makes that kind of hard to do.
You mentioned Randy Orton and Kane. You know, I didn't like this for Randy Orton when I first thought it was going to, when I first saw it possibly could happen, but I haven't found this half bad. Like, the main thing I've liked about it is their brawls have been awesome. They've had some of the best brawls on WWE TV in a good while. Like, they basically just shellac the fuck out of each other, and it's good stuff. So if this is kind of a heated brawling match and Orton wins with the RKO after 10-12 minutes, I am fine with it. If it's Chinlock Fest 2012, then not so fine with it. But I'm hoping for the former based on what we've seen so far, and yeah, I think they're doing okay with it, and Randy doesn't seem like just like he's in a slump and demotivated because he's been given this match at WrestleMania, which some would argue he has every right to kind of take that stance.
Yeah, I either the show we did or the one before that, I said, like, if I was Orton, I'd be really upset at being kind of overlooked and marginalized for the big show for however many straight years, especially after as good as he was. But then I thought, like, Orton versus Kane, who are both considered like main event veteran guys, and Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus, which is sort of like two newish mid-card guys in a world title match. I'm thinking that the like actual payoffs for those are going to be extremely close. So he's really not losing all that much, all things considered. And Kane is a guy who they've been pushing, so whatever.
That's actually, I hadn't thought about that. I can't help but think Randy Orton's going to get paid more than Bryan Danielson off the payoff of this
exactly,
show.
Exactly, right?
Like, he surely has to, even though one's in the title match. And but that said, I think Bryan Danielson's going to do quite well. And I was rewatching Wrestling Road Diaries today, and Bryan Danielson is not a man who lives large. So his WrestleMania payoff will go towards many, many future trips to the thrift store to buy Barbra Streisand records.
That's what you get, your model girlfriend for her, your anniversary.
Yes.
I love it.
That's actually a good point. Perhaps the purse strings are being opened up quite a bit more by Miss
purse strings.
You know
Miss
what?
Brianna.
He's so frugal. Brianna. Not now, Brie. I just got handed a bag of change is the subtitle of their relationship. No. That's why you realize, like, the reason the Bella Twins only wear half of an outfit is because Daniel is so frugal. He only wants to pay for that
much. Thank God for that.
To go into them.
Bravo to that, I say.
What's interesting is, like, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say on the Kane Randy Orton thing, which I meant to say when you were actually talking about it.
Please.
But if they have a brawl, they could go in the crowd. And you'll be in the crowd, so you get yourself involved.
What would I do? Who would I attack? It would be such a...
Well, this is it. Who are you going to attack?
I am wary of giving this away on the show beforehand, as both Randy Orton and Kane are known subscribers of the Figure Four Empire. But I think I'd have to help out Randy. I think Kane should really be letting this issue go. Since right. I had forgotten about it, when they replayed that video on SmackDown, I was like, what the fuck? When was... And just, you might be able to help me here. Who... Was Kane a heel here? Because I thought Kane was a face all that time before he went away.
Yeah, it was... they had, like, just a long babyface brawl for no real reason, and then they shook hands at the end of it.
Okay.
It was the match where Randy Orton fell on the table, if you remember that. He got his leg caught in the monitor hole.
Oh, yeah!
Which is not a euphemism.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well then I'd be like, Kane, look, let it go. I'd punch him in the shoulder. A dead arm. That is what I'd do.
Do you think Kane would listen to you? Do you think he'd take notice?
Possibly.
Do you think you could turn him around?
Actually,
get him back on track?
I wouldn't give him a dead arm. I think I'd want to make more of my opportunity on the big stage, and I think I would go for a Steiner screwdriver. Reverse Steiner screwdriver. That's what I'd
inverted.
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about. When you're facing a big man like that, you got to chop him down. Leg kicks.
Ooh, a leg sweep, a spinning leg sweep, that would look cool.
Or like a John Jones front kick to the knee.
Oh, those are bitch moves. I hate anyone who does that kick in MMA is a cunt. That's called the cunt kick. That's so sore.
Isn't that a kick to the cunt?
That looks so sore the way they hit the knee with that thing. I hate.
Well, that's why I'm telling you why they do
it. I think that move should be banned in MMA.
What about foot stumps?
Those are dick moves too, but I don't think they hurt. They probably hurt as much, but I don't think they have as much like that kick to the knee thing. That can just mangle someone's leg really bad.
Fucked up Rampage, isn't he?
Yeah, Rampage can go kiss his own ass. I don't want him kissing my ass because I know where those lips have been. So
wow,
he did a lot of things when he was over in Japan. Anyway, go on, Justin.
For WrestleZone's news in brief reports, coming out of this show, they can report that F4W Online, the WrestleMania spoilers, have Ambrose and Rollins, probably managed by Rob Naylor, debuting on the show and having a long match.
Yeah.
And Alan coming out of the crowd to start an invasion angle where you probably like lead a stable of Sheamus and McIntyre and Wade Barrett and Regal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking down Kane. Good, 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 good.
That will be our stable. And Trent Beretta because he's cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Alan, are you going to have a whole meal of food with all the figure four Brian Alvarez people?
No.
Or are you doing your own thing?
Pretty much doing my own thing. They're all
tied up, busy, prior.
They're all up in Fort Lauderdale area, and I will be in the Miami area and taking in Dragon Gate USA, the Wrestle Reunion Convention, and the beach. And the
Varsity Club?
Yes, Varsity Club versus New Age Outlaws. Cannot wait.
Have you taken into consideration the fact that they're fine men? Does that sway you at all?
If they're men so fine that they will organize for someone to come to Miami Beach to pick me up, drive me there, and drive me back when it's over, then I would most certainly be of persuadable stance.
Okay.
Are you in Granny's gang, Alan?
I'm in my granny's gang.
Oh. That's a shame.
Good, good, good.
I like Brian's granny. Brian's granny's awesome. It's one of my... that is my thing that I like on the Ryan and Finney show.
What about the songs? What about the drops? What about John DeCourcy?
John DeCourcy's amazing. 2006 Brian and Vinny is where it's at. Cue rant from Brian about people seeing the past through rose-colored glasses.
Vinny hasn't said B for like 5 years.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, this is only going to be a quick show this week because we have in less than a week we'll have our proper go-home show. So, I just wanted to kind of get something in here to bridge things, and we've talked on a lot of big subjects, but I suppose the biggest one we haven't really touched on, so let's just get into what's been going on with Cena and Rock and how we feel things are going. I will start us off. I can't remember if on the last show that we did, if I was completely 100% Team Cena at that stage, if they had started doing their... Because I remember Cena did his first thing the first week, and I thought it was really, really good. And I was like, well, I'm going to give Rock a chance. I'm going to see how Rock does. He has a chance to win me over. I'm not going to 100% commit to Team Cena until The Rock gets his go. And The Rock came out and did that whole Twitter thing and goosebumps and all that for, like, forever. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I was like, I am so Team Cena. And then Cena came out and just destroyed him for like a minute on the mic and walked to the back and said, keep on trending. And I was like, I love you, John Cena. You're amazing. So that was great. And then in the weeks that followed, there's been some stuff from Rock that I've liked. I thought some of the stuff he did, the pre-recorded stuff on location was pretty decent. And... yeah, there's been a couple of things he's done that's been good, but Cena, aside from that one thing where he was in an empty stadium, I've liked everything he's done. Just really think it's been good. I think he's done this perfectly. He's really done a great job, and I'm very happy with the build for this match, and I'm looking forward to seeing this match. They've done nothing that's made me be like, oh, that was so... Like, obviously, I didn't like the Rock thing, but the Cena thing... it made Cena look so good that overall I liked it, even though I didn't like Rock's part of it. So, yeah, no, I'm totally fine with the way they've been building this, and I think they've done a decent job in filling time without having them touch. But I think the last 2 weeks is going to be probably tough to keep that up. So I think this week should just be enough Cena's wrestling Mark Henry. So I've seen a wrestle Mark Henry and have The Rock do commentary. And The Rock can, of course, talk about his past relationships and dealings with Mark Henry. So, I think that would be good. I've seen a win. and then Rock come in for the stare down and maybe like give him an applause and walk away or something like that. And then that's all you need to do with him this week. Maybe have Rock cut some video package to go along with that. And then in the final week, just go home promos, and that's all you need to do. Amo.
Yeah,
or just...
Oh,
or Amo.
Not me.
Or whichever one of you.
What? Who?
Amo.
Cool.
Sorry, Justin.
Yeah, Cena's cool.
Fair fight.
We all like him. I think we were all on his team, and we were like, yep. You said the things... You said the things we wanted you to say.
Cena actually comes across like a real person.
Yeah, he does. Rock is kind of like a... Or Dwayne is kind of, you know... I don't remember him smiling that much when he was a baby.
No!
Face, you know?
That smile is so forced. It's the fakest thing ever.
It's like, fucking be a badass.
Yeah, no.
Start shouting.
No, I... Yeah. Yeah, no, I he just comes across as so phony to me. It's ridiculous.
But I did like this song. I thought that was the one week where Rock got the best from.
I liked the song up to a point, and then it went too far, and I'm like, okay, this has gone on too long. He overshot his target. I actually didn't mind the We Will Rock You thing at the end. I thought that was okay, and I loved...
Oh, I didn't like that.
I loved the very end where he's on the top turnbuckle, and the part where it's like, when that part was going on, I loved...
Alan, hang on, my headphones cut out for a second. Can you repeat what you just said? Thank you. Yep.
You know that.
Thank you for clarifying.
You know that part of the song. I love that part of We Will Rock You. It used to be the start of Claudio's music in ROH. I thought it was really cool there. But you know, when Rock was on the turnbuckle doing this rock pose and that was playing, I thought that was a cool way to end a Raw. But no, the song still. I'm trying to remember what was the part of the song that I hated.
It was like, The Rock only knows just one chord. By the sixth verse, I was kinda bored. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Time to pull the troops from Iraq. But we're dancing cause Cleveland rocks. Was that it?
Yeah, it went a bit too far. I think the Cena's mom thing? No.
I liked
when he brought up the Cena's wife part. I thought that was good. I was enjoying it to that point. I think it was stuff after that I didn't really dig. There was something definitely... I was like, oh, he's just this shit now. There was something brought me to that kind of a point. But, yeah.
I kind of thought the verse about Eve would be the sunny days for our time, unless everyone just either didn't care because they did kiss on TV, or just figure that Cena and his wife must have an open relationship when he's on the road.
Perhaps.
Especially when Dave referred to it on the audio they did after that, about things being true that some people don't know about.
What about Cena's old music coming back?
Awesome.
Right? That was cool.
Yes. Very cool. I thought his rap was good. I thought, I liked it. That was I enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed Cena's like old raps back in the day.
I don't know. I didn't enjoy it. It felt like he was being a character again.
I like that character. That's the thing. Like,
I'd rather see that than that smirk. Someone tell Cena how to do a stare down.
Yeah, it was. I'm. You know the bit where Rock has the, when you strip it all away, I'm 6'4", man, 270 pounds, man. I'll rip your throat off. I thought when Cena was going, just repeatedly saying "What do you got?" or whatever Cena was saying, it was, I thought that kind of hurt. He probably should have just let Rock say the thing for effect. I think it kind of ruined the moment a little bit. But at the same time, it was kind of credible because that's kind of what would happen in a real stare down between two guys on steroids about to get into a fight. Not saying that they're on steroids, but just that's how, you know what I'm saying.
No, is the HGH insulin stack classified as a steroid?
Overall, I'm happy with how this is going. Justin, your sort of overall thoughts on the main event feud?
Yeah, we're kind of in an awkward spot because Raw's coming on in like 3 hours, so they're going to do another round of angles tonight, I guess.
I've already told you what they're going to do tonight.
That's what someone else spoiled that. Cena and Mark Henry and WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons were all going to beat down Rock and reform the C-Nation of Domination. And that Cena would cut a cover of the Nation theme song.
That'd be
so we can do another show tomorrow to follow up on that.
Of course. Well, we'll talk about that next Sunday or Monday when we do the next show.
Good, good, good. Yeah. The other spoiler is Mark Henry injuring John Cena and ruining the WrestleMania main event. Whoops. It's kind of a problem.
What about this car crash? What's the deal?
What car crash?
I saw a headline. John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Making car news crash. Here? Someone check the bed. I'm lying down. I'm not going near my computer.
So that's who we rear-ended. Whoops.
There you go.
In our car.
I'm lying down in the back of the car.
That's why he was speeding ahead of us. Must have been a doctor.
He was driving, by the way. I'm flying the hand here. Amo, you're over there. Justin, you've got your hands full with mandarins. Who's that guy driving?
Mandarins?
You like a good mandarin.
I love mandarins.
I had a really shitty mandarin the other day. It kind of soured me up.
They're like, very fucking inconsistent fruit.
Me and the guy I sit beside in work had like a 5-minute conversation about the inconsistency of mandarins the other day when I had my shitty mandarin. He just stopped working entirely and just broke this whole thing down. Who is driving? Who is that guy?
Who's the fourth man?
Most people have said Rikishi or Hollywood Hogan, so those are your two frames of reference.
And I can't see who he is behind his mask, so We'll try and get to the bottom of who this masked man is driving our car, who has been driving our car for the whole trip, and we haven't actually noticed. So
I'd like to say at this point, this makes it sound like we're setting up an angle where the next show will have a fourth man.
I'm hoping this will work out as perfectly as the time we did that crash at the end of the show by just completely off the spur of the moment, and then the music played and it was perfect and it all worked really well. I'm hoping that something will work out like that based on
The last time you tried to ring a special guest, you went through your whole Rolodex and no one answered, so job still available.
Let's see, who could I ring that has a mask?
You know what? I don't know. Who do you do weird S&M stuff with? And are they in your phone, or do you set it up by email?
Oh, Player Uno was on the show recently. I don't do S&M stuff with Player Uno. Player Uno was on the show recently, and he wears a mask. So perhaps Player Uno is the driver. Is that you, Player Uno? No response.
Right. And maybe, like, S&M is the acronym for some new Japanese wrestle fight thing that stands for, like, shoots and matches.
All right, this is dying a death.
Not true.
This show would be good up to this point. They've completely killed us. Jesus Christ.
So anyway, Rock and Cena, a lot of people get hung up in the week to what? What? What?
Laughing at how ridiculous the last 2 minutes were.
I'm pulling it together. And then we'll save it in the end. Watch this. Maybe. No promises. Anyway, think back to Austin Rock, Rock Hogan. Neither of those were perfectly booked week in, week out. Like, there seems to be a thing where it's like there's a buys thermometer and it raises up week by week, and oh no, misstep, it's going back down. That's not really where this stuff comes from. Austin Rock and Rock and Hogan were both, they're well remembered because both shows did really well, which, you know, remains to be seen, but I don't know if this show's going to break records, but I'm fairly sure it's going to do pretty fairly good. And then they each had memorable, satisfying matches, different kinds of matches, but very well remembered and well regarded, fulfilling for what they set out to do. And their build-ups were like one or two memorable interviews, and then the match.
This is Deborah stuff.
Five.
Remember?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think people put way too much weight into just breaking down just the and it's kind of what we're doing here, but I hope not to the extent that I'm referring to, just breaking down every single detail, like it's going to affect the buy rate by 400,000 buys. It's just, like, not the case. Like, look at the stuff they did with Deborah in 2001, and I don't think they were going to... what buy rate did they do in the end of that? Something pretty big. I don't think they'd have done 400,000 more buys if Deborah wasn't involved in that, so...
They did the highest domestic buy rate ever.
Oh, really? Jesus.
So just that,
I thought the Trump one was the biggest ever.
Well, in 2005, they opened up pay-per-view to a whole bunch of non-North American markets, so people who couldn't buy the show.
No, but I thought Trump was the biggest domestic.
Oh, I could be wrong.
No, I could be totally off on that. I'm not, like, 100% sure or anything.
Maybe you're both.
Maybe. So, yeah, I think there's a few things we kind of didn't really get into on the card this week, but we'll be doing...
Oh, well, I'll just follow up on one more thing you said, which is that, you know, how many of the casual people who buy WrestleMania based on the name and, like, advertisements, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, it's WrestleMania, and they watch some TV, and they see, like, commercials advertising The Rock in a match against John Cena. They don't need to be, like, talked into the seat necessarily for this show.
Yeah, I think it's a huge proportion, so... Yeah, no, I think having a good, strong build helps, but I don't think if you have bumps in the road here, I think if it was, like, terrible from start to finish, like, I think, take for instance, Jericho Triple H in 2002, I would classify that as being more or less terrible from start to finish, and I don't think anyone bought WrestleMania for that match. Whereas, and I think if this Roxina thing was terrible from start to finish, I think it would hurt to buy it. I think all you need is to have the good strong match and have enough good things in there that it's not...
They can fill out a video package?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if you have enough material to fill out, if you have enough good material to make a good 3-minute video package, I think you're more or less there. And I think that if you just have, if you have a week or 2 weeks that weren't amazing, I don't think that's the end of the world. So,
I'll make another example.
That is a very strong talking point, I feel.
Thank you, Alan. I'll reiterate. I'll reify HHH Jericho. Even more, I thought the Triple H Orton match, they had this, like, huge angle where he RKO'd Stephanie. And when that happened, I thought that match was going to be huge because it was like a serious angle doing a forbidden thing and everyone played their parts well. And every week after that, they took it down and undid it. To the point where they had to, like, beat her up again the week before just to fix all the crap they did in between then. Whereas these guys are just treading water and not delivering, like, all-time great segments every week. It's not unraveling anything. I would still like to see this week or the next them to do a real serious, face-to-face interview that touches on history and the magnitude of the match and all those good WrestleMania main event things, but out of 5 weeks, they don't need to have that segment that I just described take place 5 times.
Yeah, true. I think, as you said, they have enough stuff to fill out a good video package at this stage, and like we do with this show, I feel, or audio package in the case of this show, because this has been a strong show tonight, guys. I've greatly enjoyed both your inputs on them. We'll,
Alan?
Yes, Amo?
Shut up.
wasn't expecting that.
I was just going to say I liked when Daniel Bryan told AJ to shut up.
That moment stopped time.
That was great.
Is what I was doing there.
That's,
you're AJ. You're AC.
AC Slater.
They're both lifelong wrestling fans. They're both internet
savvy. I cried when I met Lita too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They would both like to be kissed by Bryan Danielson.
Very much so.
They're both very positive people.
They would both like to be held in the arms of Trent Barretta.
Bryan Danielson has great admiration for both of us.
They're, you see, they've taken the next step in their level of intimacy because he first said, AJ loves me and I appreciate her, and now they've gotten more emotionally closer to where he said, AJ loves me and the feeling is mutual.
Yeah.
So, trending upwards.
I will say we didn't really touch on that match, and I think a couple others, but we'll get into everything next week in the final go-home. But I will just say on that, I've enjoyed the balance between building the rivalry between Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, and also doing a lot to focus on the Daniel Bryan AJ thing. I think it's been a nice, healthy balance that having the AJ stuff in there has made it not feel just like another this guy and this guy are colliding at WrestleMania. Here's their road to it. Because we've got enough matches like that that having one with a little thing on the side is of interest to it is, I'm not talking about Brie Bella, with a little thing on the side is good. It's a different flavor, and they've done enough with Sheamus that he it's not been like he's been out of the focus, because they've really kept him strong and showcased him well. So it's been good. I think everything with that has been working perfectly fine. So all that remains for that match is for them to have a kick-ass awesome match on the show. So I hope they do.
Which, again, if this is the year that they solve the time thing and are like, let's set out to have a handful of really good matches that go...
They have got the card for it. Make no bones about that. If they want to have awesome matches, they have the card put together for it on this show. That is for damn sure. But,
because it doesn't need to be like a Ring of Honor card where it's long four-star match one after another. You can... If they have, like, the four matches and then matches that can be good in between, and the dear Maria Menounos, who I think is awesome, but we can talk about her next time.
Yeah. I'll watch all her One Tree Hill episodes in preparation for it, so...
Right.
That was back when I watched that show. So, guys, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining me on the in the car here. Everyone, thanks for listening. We will get back to you next weekend.
Tune in next week. We'll come up with the person who we have been being driven by.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we'll be working on a conclusion to that, and I will work on a conclusion to Justin's question about the move, so we'll finish the 12th.
Great.
And,
plans change.
Yes, they do.
Come on, hold me tight. I love you. Wild thing, you make my heart sing. You make everything. Thank you. show.